because you delight to live now with your saints, but you also delight to come among sinners. We ask that you would come now to your people, both sinners and saints, that you would come here and now to walk among us, to sit with us, to speak to us. For Lord Jesus, it is your voice and your word that we need to hear. So as you speak, we pray also, Father, that you would pour out your Spirit to open our ears, to transform our minds, to bring new life to our hearts and our lives. So come, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you this time as we give you ourselves, and we do it together in the name of your Son, and we say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Christ is risen. That was okay. Let's try it again. A little more joy. You know what's coming now. Get ready. Here it comes. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
During Easter, that's the greeting, Christian Jews. During this Easter season, for 6 weeks, when we gather in, that's how we start our time together. With that Easter greeting, let's try it one more time. Christ is risen. It's like the good news going out and coming back, like I say it and you say it back. It's like a short story that gets shared and then it gets repeated. And we're going to do it for how many weeks? Six, as if we really need to hear it and have it sink down into the depths of our soul. So just practice with me and humor me. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Can you imagine, you say it here, can you imagine seeing someone at, say, Food Lion or Lowe's Hardware, feeding Avery Families or the Y, and they're over there on the treadmill, Christ is risen, and you respond, he's risen indeed. It's like a greeting, it's like a short story, and it comes together. So let me invite you to hear the way Mark brings it together in Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. So lean in and listen well and listen carefully, because this too is God's word. After the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, went and bought spices to anoint the body of Jesus. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, just as the sun was coming up, they were on the way to the tomb and asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb for us? Looking up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man seated on the right side, and they were alarmed. Do not be alarmed, he said. I know you are seeking Jesus of Nazareth. He has been raised. He is not here. Come and see the place where they laid him. Then go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And so Mary and Mary left the tomb, trembling and bewildered. And because they were afraid, they said nothing to no one. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
After the Sabbath, when Jewish people can look up into the sky and see three stars, when the day is over and the night has come, they end the Sabbath with a very simple meal. They light candles, they drink a spiced wine, and they eat bread called challah bread. And the Sabbath is over. And then do you know what they do? They turn around and they eat immediately again. They have a small ritual meal and they follow it up with what? A feast, right? Which means that Mary and Mary, because we know they were diligent, because they know they were dutiful, because we know they were servants, they must have done what? Fixed the meal. And after that messy, mournful meal, they must have done what? Come on, all the women in the room said, clean up, right? Because a woman's work, when does it end? It's never done. Right? So after the Sabbath, after a ritual meal, after a big meal, after all of that, Mary and Mary went out into Jerusalem to buy spices to anoint the body of Jesus. If you go back in Mark and read, you'll remember that Mary and Mary are both from Galilee, and now they're in Jerusalem, which means that going out in the big city, in a city you don't know, to buy spices after you've already had a full day probably took a while and had a cost. But Mary and Mary are dutiful. They're diligent. They do what is right, and they want to honor the one who they knew and who they loved. And so they do not forget what is fitting. They do not forget their duty. They do what is right. They do what you would expect them to do. They go and buy the spices, and then very early in the morning on the first day of the week, just as the sun is coming up, after all of that remembering, they remember that they have forgotten one thing. Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb? And the moment they remember that they have forgotten, they looked up and they are surprised. Their first surprise: the stone has already been rolled away. And they enter in, and there is their second surprise. A young man dressed in white is seated on the right side of the tomb. Can you imagine? Can you put yourself in their sandals? You go into a graveyard, into the dark, go into a tomb, and there is a young man dressed in white sitting there as if that's what normal young men do on a Sunday morning at the first of the week, sit in a dark tomb. Is that what anybody here does? No. Alarmed. I expect they were what?
Terrified.
Terrified. Who wouldn't be? I would be. Take a step back. Let me tell you, I'm alarmed every time I come close to death. Every time. It never fails. When someone I know, when someone I love is close to death or dies, there is some little alarm that goes off somewhere in my soul, and it rings or it buzzes. And I know that this is not the way it's supposed to be. It hurts too much. It confuses too much. It makes us doubt the goodness of life and the goodness of God too much. No matter how many times it happens, if you love someone, you lose. That alarm will go off somewhere in your soul. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know you need to hear what Mary and Mary heard. And you know you need to hear it in the tone in which it was said. Did you hear it? Do not be alarmed. I know. I know that you are seeking Jesus from Nazareth, who was crucified. Can you imagine the tone in the dark coming from a strange man in a strange place, somehow trying to calm their fears, to bring down the terror, to turn off the alarm so that they can hear the message? He has been raised. It's the one word about the word that all of us need to hear and hold on to in the face of death. When the alarm is ringing and won't stop, it's the message that we are given to take away alarm, to bring hope, and to provide healing. Four words in English, one word in Greek. It's the one message the women are given in the dark from a stranger. He has been raised. Does that sound a lot like anything we've already anyone? Sound a lot like our Easter greeting. But did you notice there was no response? He has been raised. He is not here. Come and see the place where they laid him. This is Jesus, your Lord, your Master. He cast out 7 demons from Mary Magdalene. He came out of the womb of the mother of James and Salome, because this is Mary, who at one point was betrothed to Joseph. This is Jesus, the one you love. He has lived for you. He's died on the cross for you. He has fought sin, death, and the devil for you. And he has been raised. And there was no response. The women left the tomb trembling and bewildered. And because of fear, they said no one to no one. They said nothing to no one. Now, if you're reading the Gospel of Mark for the first time, or if you're listening to this story for the first time with that alarm going off in your belly, then you might have some compassion for those women. Anybody? I mean, think about all they've gone through. They've seen Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons, and now he's been cast out, now he's been crucified, now he's been cursed. They watched Joseph of Arimathea wrap him in a cloth and put him in the tomb and roll the... If you're reading the story or hearing the story for the first time in a long time, I can have some compassion for those women. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're reading the story with compassion and curiosity and a little sense of comedy, then you have to know that at some point, those women who were bewildered and terrified, who were alarmed, sooner or later, the message went into their ear, transformed their mind, got down in their heart. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here doing what? Sharing this Easter greeting. Christ is risen. I want us to be able to make that same journey that Mary and Mary made. From being alarmed to hearing the good news to being able to share the good news. And the fact of the matter is, you don't just make it once. In this life, because we lose and we lose again, because there are surprises and they're not all good, we need to hear this message to be able to preach it to ourselves so that we can share it with others. What was the message? He has been raised. Did you notice that's not what your Bible says? This is a little step back moment. Take a little break. Pick on T for a minute. Or maybe pick on your Bible. Anybody got a pew Bible open? Have their phone open? I'll tell you what it says. He has risen. And I've been repeating, not he has risen, but he has been raised. Erasmo, Lieva, Maricacus, my new hero, who's a monk, who's a deep scholar, who's an amazing man, tells us that we must select the passive translation of this verb. Not the active, he has risen, but the passive, he has been raised, because it's a pointer to the theological passive. You were thinking that. This is that indicator of where the person is not doing the action because someone else is on the scene. The theological passive indicates this, that Jesus was not an independent operator or a titanic hero. He is raised by his Father through the power of his Father's love. And this is good news for everybody who is not an independent operator or a titanic hero. And if that's you, feel free to raise your hand and say, amen. I mean, just think if the dead Jesus had pulled himself up by his bootstraps, what would your job be? In the face of your grief, in the middle of your mourning, in the middle of the problem that you can't solve, thank the Lord for the theological passive. That God has raised His Son Jesus from the dead, and by raising Him from the dead, He promises to raise us up from the dead. So that when we hear the gospel story, we can respond not just with our mouth in the middle of a greeting, but with all of our life in all of life. He has been raised. It's the good news. And did you hear who it's good news for? Go and tell His disciples and Peter. Remember the gospel story? Peter is the first disciple. He's the best disciple. He's the strongest disciple. If anybody's tempted to be an independent operator or a Titanic hero, who is it? His name is Peter. And Peter was the one who denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And the good news for Peter is he has been raised, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Do you know who Peter is? He's me and he's you. Peter is each of us. He is all of us. People who fall apart and fall short of the glory of God. And the good news for people like Peter or me or you is this. Jesus promises to meet you. Not in Galilee, but in the gathering of His people, at this table, and in the times when we get together and open the Scriptures and open our ears and open our hearts and let that alarm bell ring so that He, in His great mercy and love, can come and turn it off. He has been raised. And He will meet you in those places. In the gathering of two or three or more who get together by the Spirit in His name to greet each other with Christ is risen and to respond with
He is risen indeed.
He promises to come here where we remember that He was broken apart and poured out because He's the host who is risen. And He will meet you when you open the Scriptures and open your ears and open your hearts. And when He comes, it is always to call you by name. Three times Peter denied Him. Three times the Lord called him by name. Do you remember that marvelous moment in the garden when Mary is weeping? She does not recognize Jesus. She thinks He's the gardener until He says her name. He calls out so that you can call back. It's almost like a call and a response. Those two things together. They come together in one of the deepest, sweetest parts of all of the book of Romans, where Paul talks about this message, and he says this: this word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message of faith that we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus calls out to us so that we can call back. He greets us so that we can greet Him. He comes to us when we are alarmed to give us that word so that we can believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths and call out to each other, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
So when I see you at the Y and you're on the rowing machine, what are you going to say, Josh?
He is risen.
And I'm going to get to say, well, you go do the first part. Let's come on. What, you, let's imagine you haven't seen me. You see me coming in. What do you say?
He is risen
indeed, Josh Smith. Good to see you today. Stephanie Jones, when I see you driving down Hickory Nut Gap for the fourth time next week, when you live next to the church, this is what happens. You see the pastor a lot. What are we going to say to each other with a wave?
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. When I see you at Bible study on that Zoom screen, Chad Haas, what's the greeting going to be?
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. We need to learn to greet each other with good news, to share the short story. Because this little nano narrative, these few little words, they can get into your mind and transform your thinking. They can go into the depths of your heart. They can free you to face death. Let's pray. Over and over, Lord Jesus, your word tells us that all those who call on you will be saved. And because you call us by name, we call on you to meet us in the midst of our grief, to transform us in the midst of our trembling, to come to us when we are alarmed with your all-powerful forgiveness. Speak your word to us. Be present to us so that we can know how to not only greet each other, but share the good news with each other and your world. So have mercy on us, we pray. And we ask this in your name. And together we say, amen. So when God